Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
With ShiftWork, a podcast made in collaboration with RWCF and HRN, we're shifting the conversation about how the restaurant food you love makes its way to the table. Listen to and follow ShiftWork on your favorite podcast app.
Hello, hello, Heritage Radio Network listeners tuning in from 165 countries around the world. About a million listens a month. And you know, I hope every single one of them is listening to Tech Bites, the weekly show where we look at the intersection of food and technology. And today that intersection is on the blockchain. We are talking about NFTs and cryptocurrencies and Ethereum. What is all that? Well, if you are a faithful listener, a few episodes back, we did episode 253, was about the Dumpling Mafia NFTs. And that was our beginning of a series that we're doing on cryptocurrency and NFTs. I'm really captivated by the subject because it's fun, it's new technology, it's food, it's collectibles, and it is has a tremendous velocity right now, not just in the food world, but in the world at large. We're actually in an interesting moment right now for NFTs with some anonymous creators being unmasked for their true identities in the NFT world. NFT stands for non-fungible tokens, and it's an interesting kind of thing. If you don't know what that is, but you've heard it, this is the show for you. We're going to talk with Grant Friedman, who is the director of the private client desk at CoinCloud. CoinCloud is a very interesting digital currency machine, and it's kind of like a reverse engineered ATM machine. You go to the machine, you put dollars in, and it converts it into digital currency to your account, which is fascinating. We don't have them in New York City, but they are around the country. So take a look out for those. He is going to walk us through how to set up a crypto digital currency account, create a hot wallet, purchase some Ethereum, which is the digital currency you need to buy a Dumpling Mafia NFT, non-fungible token. Dumpling Mafia is a group of actual people in Los Angeles, California, a chef, a publicist, a writer, and an artist, and they came together to create these really adorable Dumpling Mafia NFTs after they had a dumpling crawl in Los Angeles, where they were going out, they were eating dumplings, they were eating food, they were posting pictures on Instagram, and people wanted to know how they could join the Dumpling Mafia. So they decided to do an NFT with Grant and CoinCloud because they thought it was a fun thing to do. It would create some community. And in this day and age, when restaurants are really looking for alternate sources of passive revenue, NFT is a pretty smart idea. So we did the first episode with the creators of the Dumpling Mafia and the NFTs. Now, this next episode is how to get one. If you love this idea, coming down the road is going to be an episode on making an NFT. And a little bit further along, we'll do an episode on the environment and digital currency, because that's a whole other issue. Whew. Okay, now we're going to jump in. Grant, I want to welcome you back to the show. Thank you for walking us through this. It's probably a little tedious for you, but so helpful and informative to the rest of us.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you for having me again. And I think you did a really good job of introing that and explaining it. And there are certainly different roadmaps to onboarding yourself to the digital economy. We did it this morning the old school way, where I sent you digital currency straight from peer to peer. You can use our machines and walk up and buy digital currency with cash, or you can, go the new school route of onboarding yourself to one of these online exchanges and waiting a few days for it to sort of connect to your bank account and process. And but everyone is trying to find a way to convert their dollars into digital dollars these days. And you know, definitely we're on the right path.
So this is going to be a fun episode, and we'll dig into a little bit more of what Grant's talking about. But before we get started with step one, which is buy some digital currency, I also want to introduce the engineer of this show and the head of production at Heritage Radio Network, Matt Patterson, who has been working on this show for a long, long time, back in real life and now remotely. He is always listening in on the recording, but today he will be chiming in if he has questions, because I'm really hoping that this show will be informative and help people learn enough to be able to take the leap into the digital currency world and maybe buy some NFTs themselves. So he's going to be our audience of one. and Matt, so you can feel free to chime in as we go through the process with any questions you might have if something's not quite clear.
Yeah, will do. I don't know much about this world, so I should have some good beginner questions.
Well, if you don't have a hot wallet, we're all beginners, right? And that's not a hot pocket. That's a hot wallet. So let's start there.
I have neither, although I would take the hot pocket, honestly, longer.
I don't think they would let you keep working at Heritage Radio if you wanted a hot pocket.
Hot pockets.
Okay. So Grant and I have had several conversations and emails since episode 253 to figure out how to start to do this. And so I actually started at the very beginning. The first thing I needed to do was to open an account with a digital exchange to be able to buy some Ethereum. Grant, explain to everyone why that's necessary. Do a quick recap of where the Ethereum lives and why you need an account to get it.
Sure. I mean, these market makers or exchanges are the largest holders of digital assets in the world. I know people are supposed to end up possessing all of these digital assets like Bitcoin and Ethereum, but right now, you know, the bulk of it is held by, you know, you talk about decentralized currency, it's pretty centralized in that Coinbase and FTX and Binance, you know, the largest exchanges in the world are, you know, trying to possess as much as they can so that they can, you know, it's like the gold rush, you know, the gold, you know, the people buying and selling, you know, have their hands in the pot, you know, they're possessing the most of these assets. So the way to get them is just like going to a bank and, you know, onboarding yourself. The onboarding process is a lot quicker, as you notice this week, Jen. It's just, you know, fill out a little bit of know your customer, which they call KYC information, and you're in. You have an account or an exchange account. It's kind of like an E-Trade account if you were trading stocks, and you know, you connect it to your bank or, you know, PayPal or a debit card, and you make a small deposit, and then it goes on to the exchange, and you can sort of pick your digital assets or, you know, pick your stocks, and then, you know, you see the market moving, and a lot of people like to buy low or what they think is the, you know, kind of the local short-term low, and, you know, find a good spot to enter and buy their, you know, 300, 500 or, you know, more dollars of Ethereum or Bitcoin or any other digital asset that's been vetted by these exchanges.
So just to take a really 30,000 foot view, the blockchain is the internet space. It's the internet spreadsheet, the universal ledger where all of the digital currencies are created and live. And then we have these exchanges, which are sort of like combination marketplace banks, where you go and you put money in and you can buy the currencies that they have. So when you say that these exchanges want to have the most currency, you mean that in a kind of banking sort of way, right? If a bank has a lot of deposits or has a lot of account holders with a lot of money, they have a lot of money in-house.
Exactly, exactly. So if there's 21 million Bitcoin in existence and Coinbase has 4 million Bitcoin, you know, they're cornering the market in terms of, you know, people, if people want to possess that asset, you know, they have the most of it. So people are going to go to that marketplace to buy it. And when you said, you know, there are a lot of the digital assets are their own blockchains. So we talk about Bitcoin as being the oldest single blockchain. And then we talk about Ethereum, which is the most, you know, sort of most popular transactional blockchain. And then Coinbase or FTX will sell many of the other blockchains. So if you're familiar with, you know, Solana or Avalanche or Phantom, you know, all of these are separate blockchains and, you know, becoming more and more popular by the day. So if you want to buy some Phantom token, you know, some of the other tokens, some of the marketplaces or exchanges only have a certain amount of each, a certain amount of liquidity in each. So if I want a kind of a thinly traded token and it's not offered on Coinbase, maybe it's only offered on, you know, FTX or Binance, then I would onboard myself to the exchange based on what digital asset I wanted to buy. So that's an interesting topic as well. And then a lot of the digital assets, there's a vetting process for being listed on these exchanges. And if they haven't passed, you know, the regulatory vetting process, you know, these exchanges aren't going to list that token. So once, it's funny, once the tokens go on these exchanges, a lot of times they get a huge price bump because there's so many more eyes, there's so many more dollars, you know, all of a sudden being in included in that.
They've been validated as like real and not fraud or fake or shady.
Exactly.
Well, you know, that leads me to sort of the first question. You recommended Coinbase to me, and that's what I did. So I opened a Coinbase account and I bought some Ethereum. It was very simple. It was as easy as any transaction, making a reservation, buying a plane ticket, you know, iTunes, downloading, you know, movies, all those things. Very, very easy, very user-friendly to get started. And when it comes to technology, you know, we're so aware of the opportunity to get scammed or to have things stolen or hijacked from you, your phone, your accounts, your personality. How do people make decisions? What's the best way for people to make decisions or evaluate what a good exchange is to start with? How do I know? I mean, you're an expert, you're a professional in the field, you deal with, you know, this every day in large quantities of money. So I can, you're my personal banker now, my personal crypto banker. But how do people make those decisions? How do they know when something is real and trustworthy when it comes to these digital currencies and digital wallets and digital spaces, even though, you know, I'm looking at, you know, flashing like a slideshow of really cute little dumpling images and, you know, everything is Ethereum and different names. And it seems almost like a video game. There's real money behind it. So how do I keep myself safe? How do I make a good choice of a good exchange, something that's trustworthy?
Yeah. I mean, it's exactly like the legacy banking system or, you know, when you buy a new phone or a new TV, you know, we say, you know, the players that are first to market, a lot of times they have the most partnerships in the industry, or they've done it longer, so they're more trustworthy. The truth is we never can really answer those questions fully, but it is, if we do our research and we really talk to people who know the space and we put some time into studying, you know, who's behind these NFTs and who's behind these exchanges and products and companies, then maybe we can do a better job of picking and choosing which one to go with. I spend my day-to-day sort of analyzing these types of risks and guiding people in the right place. But yeah, it's a really good question. But I do want to start by saying, you know, just use common sense. You know, don't click on phishing links or links that, you know, look at what website you're going to. Make sure it's spelled correctly, because this industry is new, and when you have something new, people are going to try and take advantage of of others. So I like to, talk to people who know the space and continue my education and encourage people to continue theirs, as they, as they get into it. But when I choose what dollars to deposit at, Wells Fargo versus Chase, I'm not sure what they're doing, with my dollars on the other end. I'd like to know the teams and the people behind the projects that I'm investing my personal dollars in or suggesting to my clients rather.
So use common sense and treat this type of banking the same way you would treat your in-person real-life banking for your checking account and all those types of things. You recommended Coinbase, which is the one that I use. They're publicly traded, so we know that they are a business that's has a certain value and has passed muster in many of the financial arenas. You also, you recommended a couple others. What would be, so Coinbase and you also recommended FTX.us and Binance.us. So those are those the top three spots to go?
They're the top three in terms of the amount of users they have today. And, because they're such big marketplaces, I will say, they're so highly regulated and they have all the, the fintech, SEC, they're almost more regulated than the legacy banking system at this point. A lot of people have questions, but I'll follow up by saying, when we went over the deposit process, we got your dollars onto Coinbase quickly, but I also told you that, to not leave your dollars in the exchange for too long, because you hear about, the crypto.com being hacked and a certain amount of money being stolen out of people's accounts and whatnot. We're talking with online hot wallets where, if your account gets hacked, if somebody gets in, there is no FDIC insurance. So I said to you, Jen, maybe it'd be a good idea to take some of that money off of the exchange account and put it into a personal wallet, a personal, digital currency wallet. And that is much more safe. You can take it offline and or keep it, online when you want it to be online, as opposed to, just living in the company space, for example.
So That's exactly what we did. I started with a Coinbase exchange account. I bought some Ethereum. So when you say hot wallet, that means that's my account, that's my wallet, and hot means it's sort of live. I can move things, I can trade, I can buy, and it's also being impacted by the current rates of the market. So the value of that Ethereum that I have in that Coinbase account, just like a stock, goes up and down.
Right.
Because I converted the dollars into Ethereum. So the next step after opening the Coinbase exchange account was going to MetaMask to open another wallet. So I opened an account with MetaMask, and this is sort of my personal storage transaction wallet now, correct?
Right. Yes. You only have this. You're the only person that has access to it. It's still hot. It's still a hot wallet in that it lives, in your browser. But it only connects to sites when you want it to connect to sites. So when we buy the NFT today, you'll connect to the Dumpling Mafia NFT site and you'll agree, you'll give access for your wallet to interact with the site. And, that makes it as hot can be when you're connected to that site. It's like when you're in privacy settings and you click, allow my data to be, attract for this 2-minute period of time or something like that. After that, after the NFT goes back in your wallet, or you disconnect, you close the browser, you disconnect your MetaMask wallet, it takes it down a level as opposed to leaving it in the Coinbase exchange. And then we can talk, cold wallets, which is, you're still seeing the market go up or down. You're still possessing Ethereum, which is a volatile asset, but you're possessing it offline. And as far as somebody getting access to it, it's very difficult.
So the cold wallet is like keeping it in the coffee can in the freezer.
Exactly. It's like keeping
keeping my money under the mattress.
It's total under the mattress, and they look like devices that would be easily, you know, lost or displaced under the mattress. You know, they're kind of USB keys. Or, you know, I have one that looks like a kind of an American Express Black card with a QR code attached to it. It's really cool looking. And, you know, I'm sure they make it like to look like that. So, you know, people say, oh, this is, you know, this is like so the Ferrari cool. key of digital wallets or something like that. But yeah, exactly.
So I opened up the MetaMask account, and this is another common sense thing. And this is another thing that we read about in the news. There's a password to the account, which is just like your basic setup a password, you know, your dog's name, your sister's birthday, and you know, your favorite ice cream flavor, whatever people, you know, use to string together things for passwords. But they give you a master key phrase of several words in a very specific order. And they tell you in big flashing letters multiple times over and over and over again, never, ever, ever lose this master key recovery phrase, because once they give it to you, no one has it. You can't go to customer service. You can't reset it. You can't reset your master key phrase by sending yourself an email and verifying it with a code from your text to your phone. It doesn't work that way. You would just lose it. And so there are so many stories in the media today about people who set up accounts, bought some crypto, and then forgot the password. But the way it's structured to be very secure and the way it's, you know, decentralized and somewhat anonymous, there's no one to help you. So famously, and something that we talked about in the last episode, Grant, the estimates are that about 20% of the Bitcoin in the world is lost forever because of forgotten passwords.
That's my personal estimate on how much of the global supply of Bitcoin is not accessible. But you know, we're talking about some are lost, you know, seed phrases or you know, private keys. Some are old technology, people throwing out their old computers and hard drives. You know, there's a famous story about the guy who has been trying to get permission to go search a landfill in the UK because famously he has, you know, $800 million worth of Bitcoin on a hard drive that, you know, is sitting in a landfill somewhere. But the truth is, if you have your seed phrase or your private keys, as you said, you can clone the wallet elsewhere. So you can clone your, if you lose access to your MetaMask wallet, you can go back to Coinbase and start a new fresh wallet, type in your seed phrase. So the wallet providers don't make a difference. All wallet providers are connected to the same open source blockchain technology, and you can upload, clone your seed phrase, you know, in other wallets. So you obviously want to be, you use common sense again. You don't want to share your seed phrase with anyone that you don't love very dearly.
Yeah. So remember your password, people, is what it comes down to. Because you never know what's going to happen. These are new things. They're very volatile. People buy them because they're fun. Example, the person who's got, you know, the hard drive in the landfill. He bought it over a decade ago when Bitcoin first came out and just thought it was like a fun, cool thing. And it didn't cost very much money. And now, you know, now look where he's at. So remember your password. Remember your key phrases. Very important, not just for NFTs, Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, but for life. The life we live today. So we have Ethereum purchased on the Coinbase exchange, transferred to the MetaMask wallet. Now we are ready to buy a Dumpling Mafia NFT.
That's right. Okay. It's very exciting.
We are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we are going to buy the Dumpling Mafia NFT live on the air. You might hear some clicking and clacking with the computer. It's very exciting. But before we get there, let's find out who is the person who is fueling this show. Did you know Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit? We keep the lights on and the mics hot out of the generosity of our members, most of whom are listeners like you, grants, and underwriters like this one. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Kiki Luya, the Executive Director of Restaurant Workers Community Foundation, and I'm the host of a new podcast called Shift Work. In the last 6 months, some 6,500 restaurants have closed their doors, and there's never been a time when restaurants and their 12 million workers have been more vulnerable. It's time to transform hospitality. With Shift Work, a podcast made in collaboration with RWCF and HRN, we're shifting the conversation about how the restaurant food you love makes its way to the table. What does it really take to make that experience happen? And who are the countless workers responsible? We're talking porters, cleaning crew, prep cooks, servers, baristas, hosts, bartenders, barbacks, managers, sommeliers, and chefs. I'll also introduce you to organizations that are leading industry transformation. We'll discuss mental health, fair pay, racial justice, and how hospitality can change for the better. We need it. Listen to and follow Shift Work on your favorite podcast app.
You are listening to Tech Bites on the Heritage Radio Network, the weekly show where we look at the intersection of food and technology. And today that intersection is on the blockchain. We are talking about NFTs, food NFTs, and cryptocurrency. It's a hot topic. I got a hot wallet. It's very exciting. We first started talking about NFTs earlier this year, one of the first episodes of the year, number 253. It's a great story about the actual real-life dumpling mafia, which was a group of friends, is a group of friends who go around Los Angeles eating Chinese food and dumplings, and their Instagram followers had a lot of FOMO and wanted to know how they could be a part of the dumpling mafia. And so they created the Dumpling Mafia NFT just in time for the Chinese New Year. And also a great idea for restaurants who are looking for passive income in this very challenging, I'm not going to say post-COVID, but, you know, new pandemic life that we have right now, which is why you will be seeing more and more food, culinary, chef-driven NFTs. NFTs are non-fungible tokens. What does that mean? Well, we have an expert on the show helping us navigate opening up cryptocurrency accounts, purchasing cryptocurrency, and now on our way to purchase a Dumpling Mafia NFT. We're with Grant Friedman, who is the director of the private client desk at CoinCloud, which is a very fun it's essentially a cryptocurrency ATM that works in reverse. You put dollars in and you get cryptocurrency out. So Grant, explain to us very briefly what the NFT is. It's a non-fungible token. It lives on the blockchain, a blockchain somewhere. And what does it really mean?
Yeah. So a non-fungible token is basically anything that can be digitized or tokenized right now is. So the most obvious example is with digital art or collectibles. We're talking digital, pieces of art, basically pictures, any picture that, can be uploaded online. If you want to put it on the blockchain and have it on this endless ledger where you can track the provenance, who it's been sold to, what wallet possesses it. It's a really cool way, it's kind of a futuristic way of money. It's like if we spend our dollars and there was a little tracking number above it that said, that dollar went to Macy's or that dollar went to, the restaurants you go to. And it's a more specific way of using our dollars. And, the NFT space is really broad right now. NFTs are being used as your entryway into certain social clubs. But it's basically something you possess, a token that you possess on your digital wallet. Same as when we bought, digital currency in the first half of this episode. Your NFT will go in your digital wallet as well. And maybe it'll get you access to our Lunar New Year event where you get dumplings sent to you by Goldbelly. And it's just a fun community, a fun way of kind of like the chat rooms, early internet chat rooms when you were, you went in a chat room and that chat room was, or something you like to talk about. So anyway, I think your people are buying NFTs because it's art, you know, digital art they like to collect, or, you know, their favorite athlete is doing it, or a musician is doing an NFT, and there's only a certain amount that are made of each of these. So you're owning the original, and you can say to your friends, you know, I own an original, you know, Wynton Marsalis NFT, and it has some unique music or something like that. But the Dumpling Mafia NFT was created, you know, basically, you know, out of the pandemic, and to include all of Shirley Chung's fans. And I thought it was a great way to intertwine my job at CoinCloud, which is, you know, selling the top digital assets. The NFTs were the hot commodity, and we needed to go into this space.
Well, they're still very hot. They're definitely on the rise. I will just make a quick recap, although, and then I hear Matt has a question.
Yeah.
So my quick recap is, again, the blockchain is like a giant spreadsheet or a ledger that lives on the internet. It's its own digital space. And when you put an NFT onto the blockchain, then it can be for sale. And then when I buy it, it'll say, Jennifer TechBytes bought the NFT. And it'll sit there. And if I want to sell it back to Grant, it'll say, Grant bought the NFT. And it will continue on and on and on and on. There's a very interesting thing happening right now in the fashion world where someone made a digital piece of art with an Hermes Birkin bag, which are famously, famously collectible and extremely expensive in real life. And they made it as an NFT and they're selling it. But it doesn't have anything to do with Hermes. And Hermes is a little upset about it because they're absolutely making money off the Hermes brand. But the thing about the blockchain that makes it so enticing and intriguing to people and transparent is that the blockchain can never be changed. You can erase it, redo it, delete it, change the order. So now that this Hermes Birkin bag NFT is online, there's nothing Hermes can do about it. And there's also nothing the creators can do about it either. So it's very fascinating. And as Grant said, it's almost like you can follow the path of where money was. It's like if you had a dollar bill and it had listed every single person in every single store and every single place that it was since it came out of the US Mint, and you could never erase that, and it was always a part of that dollar, that's kind of what we're talking about, which makes it fascinating as well.
I have a very basic question, which is just, you know, you mentioned there are multiple coins available, right? There's Bitcoin, there's Ethereum, et cetera. And then you've got a variety of NFTs. Is it generally the case that you can only acquire a specific NFT with one type of coin? Like you have to go out and find Ethereum?
That's an excellent question. That's an excellent question, Matt. And it's an excellent question because it goes to something that Grant said very quickly earlier in the show, but I'll let Grant explain. But each cryptocurrency is on its own blockchain, correct?
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. So you know, our Dumpling Mafia NFT was essentially uploaded onto the Ethereum blockchain. And most NFTs today are uploaded onto the Ethereum blockchain. So generally, you would use Ethereum or Ether to buy Ethereum blockchain NFTs. That being said, I can make a deal to buy an Ethereum NFT with another digital asset if I wanted to. Or people are uploading digital assets on the Solana blockchain because gas prices, as we'll see today when Jen buys her NFT, is that Ethereum is moving out of mining, out of a proof of work concept. So many people are using the network that the transfer fees, the gas prices, each transaction has to be confirmed on the blockchain. And in order to do this, it's really expensive because the congestion of the network rises the prices, the transfer
it's
fees.
Surge pricing. It's essentially surge pricing.
Totally surge pricing.
Is what it is. It's Like, imagine if you got charged for your internet use or your 5G use based on the number of people using the internet at that point in time. Same thing with like Uber and the car services, you know, taking an airplane. It's going to cost you more if more people want to go. And that's the gas price.
Exactly. The congestion on the Ethereum highway, there's a lot of traffic on the Ethereum highway right now. So some people you choose to mint NFTs on other blockchains where fees are much cheaper, and there's definitely some competition in the space. OpenSea, which is the largest marketplace of NFTs, has just added the Solana wallet to their, you know, basically made it compatible for Solana NFTs to be bought and sold.
I was going to say, so the answer to your question, Matt, is you're correct.
Yes, yeah. but it helps to have that specific digital asset to buy NFTs on that specific blockchain.
All right. So let's buy some Dumpling NFTs. I am at dumplingmafianft.com. And I see all the little dumplings just flashing through, which are just adorable. The artwork was done by a Los Angeles artist named Narrator. And he is a graffiti artist, outdoor artist, traditional artist who is in the neighborhood where Shirley's restaurant is, and kind of organically came to know them and made it art and all of that. And they're really adorable. How many of them are there right now, Grant?
There are 4,444 generative dumplings that we created. So basically we took Narrator's art and we added different traits to them, and then we coded them onto the blockchain. So that was how CoinCloud really came in to help out. You know, a lot of artists, if they want to do just one piece and put it on the blockchain, you know, mint it as an NFT, they can take any one of one piece that they did, you know, put it online. Maybe it's a picture, maybe it's a, you know, digital drawing, or and they can upload it onto, you know, one of the marketplaces. They can mint it. What we did that was kind of fancy is we basically used six original pieces of artwork, and then we added colors. We added.
They have hats. There are patches. There's jewelry. There's sunglasses. There's colored backgrounds. There's party hats. There's diamonds. All kinds of things.
And what's funny, and we gamify it, really buying NFTs is a game. Is when you buy it on OpenSea, for example, Jen, you be able to see which NFT you're buying. But when you're minting it on our site, you can mint, you know, up to 20 of these, and they're randomly assigned to you. So you may get a super rare one that has all the special traits, or you may get one that's just kind of a simple
So they're dumpling. Randomly assigned to me, so I don't get to pick. So it's luck of the draw.
Luck of the draw.
It's a little bit like the lotto tickets.
Exactly.
Or so, something like that. Or the, you know, the surprise things, like when you go to the carnival or like an arcade thing where you get the egg and then you open it up and then you get what you get, kind of thing. And so will some of them be more valuable than others?
You know, people assign value to everything. But when you talk about the really popular NFT, digital art NFT collections today, the Bored Ape Yacht Clubs of or the CryptoPunks of the world, you know, the ones with the rarer traits are generally, you know, sell for more, you know, in the resale market.
Okay, so let's get some of these. Let's see which ones I get. Let's see if I get a fancy one. Let's see if I get, you know, fancy, rare, exciting, which one I'm going to get out of the 4,400. So I'm up on dumplingmafianft.com. I have my MetaMask wallet open. I am connecting my MetaMask account. So I get a little pop-up window. It says connect with MetaMask, select account. I select my account. I click next. Yes?
Yes. And then you'll be prompted on the site to, there's a little number. It'll say, how many dumplings would you like to mint? And I think it starts at one, and you can, you know, click up to, I think, you know, 20 is the max that you can mint, but you'll stick on one. You'll say, you know, purchase. And then there should be another pop-up in your MetaMask wallet that shows, you know, how sort of what it costs. And it will estimate high on the gas prices. So it won't be the actual cost that you pay. But go ahead, Jen.
So I clicked through and now I have one DM costs 0.008 Ethereum, excluding gas fees.
And what does the gas say it costs right now, Jen? What is it estimating?
It doesn't look like it's estimating the gas fee. It says click buy to mint your NFT one, and I can plus or minus, and it says buy. It says 77/4888 at the top.
Okay.
So what does that mean?
It's estimating that even though our dumpling costs $30, that it may cost $70 all in, or $77 all in, but it usually estimates high, and then, you know, uses less gas, just the way we coded the site. So go ahead
it more economical for me to buy one at a time, or is it the same gas fee?
It's more economical for you to buy multiple.
It's the same gas fee as if I buy one.
It's slightly more, but it is more economical to buy multiple at once.
Okay. So I think we talked about I was going to buy three. Was that right?
Yes. Well, actually, there's a perk to you buying three at this point of the year, because a lot of NFTs have real life perks and are, you know, we're doing a Lunar New Year gold belly perk, where if you own three Dumpling Mafia NFTs and you email, you know, dumplingmafianft@gmail.com with your three that you own, you get a $150 gold belly box sent to your house for free.
And a live
cooking class with Shirley Chung. Yeah.
Shirley Chung, you might know her from Top Chef. She's like the dumpling queen of the United States and digital realms afar. Okay, so this is the intersection of technology and food, where actually the technology, as always on this show, the digital technology leads me to a real life delicious food experience. So I'm going to buy three because I want those dumplings.
Okay, great.
So I'm going to click up to three. One DM costs 0.008 Ethereum. We're at 77/448. Okay. And I click buy, right?
Click buy. And let's see if another confirmation pops up. You know,
it says busy. New address detected. Click here to add to your address book. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Add nickname. Is that my new address or is it you?
That would be your, I'm guessing that's your new address.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So that's good. I added it to my address book. Estimated gas fee. Oh, we have insufficient funds.
Oh, no. So the gas fee will estimate high. So let's maybe try to do one as opposed to three.
How about two? Let's do two.
Okay. You know, we're right in the middle of the day here. So the NFT buying around the world, you know, could be at an all-time high.
How do I go back then to reduce the number that I want to buy?
Okay, let's close out the you'll close out the upper right hand. You'll sort of start again, I would say. Just refresh the
refresh the Dumpling Mafia site. Yes. And start again. Okay. So that's interesting. So because it's almost 2 o'clock on the East Coast, it's the middle of the day. You know, you think that traffic. All right, so we're going to try and buy two. I'll come back and buy the third one okay. by myself because I
yeah,
want
I'll say
those
I'll
dumplings.
Say this: the Ethereum blockchain this summer will be moving towards what's called proof of stake as opposed to proof of work. And what that means is they're going to get rid of mining.
It says I have insufficient funds still.
Okay, let's try to just buy one. And what I was just about to say is the gas fees will be a lot less come this summer when the Ethereum network gets rid of the benefits.
Now
from
I can
mining.
Buy it. It's
okay,
gonna
great.
Be okay, let's see. It's minting my Dumpling Mafia NFT.
Very
it says
cool.
It's busy. This is very exciting. Wow, the Dumpling Mafia is yours. Visit OpenSea.io to view it.
Okay, great.
Okay, so we're going to go to OpenSea. And for people following along at home, that's the word open, SEA.io. Okay, visit OpenSea to view it. Okay, so I'm on OpenSea. So where do I go now? Oh, do I look for Dumpling Mafia?
You can look for Dumpling Mafia. You could also click the upper right hand and it will, you could say account or and then profile.
Let's see. Oh, I don't have an OpenSea account though.
So you'll have to connect your, you have to give it access.
Wallet?
Yep, connect your MetaMask wallet.
Okay. MetaMask. There we go. Connecting. MetaMask has a very cute avatar that moves, which is a fox. Okay, connecting. And then, okay, so now I'm here. Do I close this out now that I'm connected?
You're connected. So, you know, in OpenSea at the top, you know, top right, there'll be a profile, little, you know, insignia avatar to click on, and you'll click on your profile.
Let's see. Explore stats, resources, account, profile.
Yep.
Let's see. Unnamed. There it is.
Really?
Dumpling Mafia number 78.
Congrats, Jed. Very exciting. Your first NFT.
Oh, my goodness. It's wearing a hat. It's got like a mauve and purple and red ombre background. It has pirate eye patch. It's like the little, is it a dumpling? It almost looks like a little dumpling pig. Cat?
Yeah, we have some bows, we have dumplings, we have the noodles, you know, the dumpling soup. We have all different kinds that we've generated there. So
the Dumpling Mafia, like little avatar logo that's holding the dumpling and the chopstick and has a bow in his hand that looks like it's a little pig or something with like whiskers. Is that a little pig or a cat?
That's
or
a
something?
Pig. That's that the pig dragon?
Yes, the pig dragon. Okay, so I have a pig dragon wearing a hat with an eye patch, holding a bow and one hand, and then the other hand has chopsticks and a dumpling, smiling.
It sounds like you got a real rare one, Jen. Yeah, there are all sorts of traits in there that you just listed. So
very exciting.
So yeah, so the purchase, you know, it went about as smoothly as we could have wished there.
Sure. I mean, if I had had more funds in it, or it was less, the gas prices were less expensive, then it would have gone faster.
Correct.
So what do I do with my Dumpling Mafia NFT now that I'm looking at it in my OpenSea account? I can sell it, I can transfer it, I can make a profile picture, and I can copy the link.
That's absolutely right. And then, you know, if you want, for example, for the holidays, I bought my parents a few dumplings and I bought them a digital frame and I uploaded them onto the digital frame. And every minute, they have it up in their house and every minute it changes dumplings to the ones they own. So, hey, there's some real life use cases to owning NFTs. As well.
And I made it my profile picture on OpenSea.
Amazing.
So there it is. I'm unnamed, but I'm Dumpling Mafia number 78. And so now how do I get the little Dumpling Mafia? I can just pull it off the screen. I can just drag it off the screen and then there it is.
That's you know, and people will make a joke as if like, oh, I right-clicked your picture. Now I own it. But the truth is you own the one that's on the blockchain. You know, you own the tokenized version. It's in your wallet. So you own the real Mona Lisa of Dumpling Mafia 78. You don't own a lithograph or a copy. You own the real thing.
So the real thing is living in my.
It is now living
which
in
account?
Your seat.
It's actually I have lots of crypto accounts. Where does the actual NFT certificate of authenticity live?
It lives in your seed phrase, funny enough. So it lives in your seed. It lives in your private keys, currently your private keys are in your MetaMask wallet. That's the MetaMask is the third party, you know, provider for your seed phrase right now. So it's living there. Your MetaMask is now connected to OpenSea. You know, so you can send, you know, it's basically your NFT is living sort of on OpenSea right now, but you can take it off of OpenSea, put it into your MetaMask account for, you know, more safekeeping. But basically, you know, it lives on your MetaMask you know, seed, I should say.
Okay. So there you have it, people. Ethereum to Dumpling Mafia purchase on NFT purchase on Dumpling Mafia. Now it's OpenSea. Now I have it. I'm going to go back and buy two more so I can have three, because I want the real life Dumpling Mafia NFT benefit of having dumplings delivered to me through Goldbelly, which is amazing. And, you know, certainly fashion and music have community, but nothing really has community like restaurants and chefs and people who come together around cooking delicious food and feeding each other and hospitality and those types of things. So it's not surprising to me that food and culinary and chef-driven NFTs are really starting to take off now. We're still at the very beginning stages of it, but I definitely think it's a trend that we are going to see really explode probably later this year and into next year. We already see some big companies jumping on the NFT bandwagon. What we are going to do next, I'm going to go buy two more. I'll have three Dumpling Mafia NFTs, and then come back for the next episode where we are going to put some Tech Bytes flair onto a Dumpling Mafia NFT and sell it and see how that goes. The next episode will be how to make an NFT and sell it and maybe get rich without having to dig through a landfill in the UK. I hope this answered questions. Matt, did this answer questions? Do you have a better sense of it? Do you feel like you could maybe go and do it on your own with a potential phone a friend assist?
Yeah, it definitely makes the process feel less, ambiguous or whatever.
All right. Again, if you want to learn more about the Dumpling Mafia NFT, go to our original show, which is Tech Bytes episode 253. There was also a recent episode on the metaverse and NFTs on Meet Plus 3. Matt, which episode was that recently published on Heritage Radio Network.org?
It was the first episode of our Future of Food series. So it's two episodes ago. I can't recall the precise title or name, but it would be, they're labeled Future of Food in the title. So it's the first one of those.
Fantastic. And there's some really interesting things around NFTs in the metaverse, which would be a great, great companion piece to these. I want to thank Grant Friedman from CoinCloud for joining us today and being my personal cryptocurrency banker this past week. And I'm looking forward to talking with him again on the next episode of making an NFT and selling it somewhere in the crypto world. Grant, thank you for your time. I want to thank Matt for being our audience of one and the engineer and making us all sound great and packaging this up and putting this out onto your favorite podcasting platform. If you like this show, come back and see us again. If you love this show and you can't live without it and you think Heritage Radio Network and this story and these stories are important things that you need to hear and records that we need to keep to listen to later. You know, we've been on the air for more than a decade. We have a lot of stories and histories that we've recorded. We think it's important. And maybe you do too. If you do, go to heritageradionetwork.org, click the beating heart and make a donation. Maybe donate what you spent on your last NFT purchase. I'm Jennifer Liuzzi, and this is Tech Bytes.
Tech Bytes is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Just enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.